Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center and, of course, joined by good buddy and pastor Jason Hayes of Shoreline Church. Jason, it is we're smack dab in the middle between Sundays.
It is quite literally between Sundays.
It is.
And, or at least close. And if you're really thinking through that, just don't, because it's probably not exactly
right. And we're just excited to be here. I got caught by a train on the way here, and I thought, well, I'm gonna make everybody mad at the station because I'm gonna get there about 1 minute before we go on air.
Yeah,
but it was more like five minutes before we went on air.
Instead, you just had me in panic as I sat out waiting.
Jason's like, "Am I gonna have to do this by myself?" yes.
The answer is yes.
So Jason, how last week you went to preached at a camp, spoke at a camp,
yeah.
and the Lord moved, man, right?
Yeah, man. We were just talking off air. It was a really, really sweet week. We were up in Covenant College. Have you ever been that way?
Not.
Oh, man, it is spectacular. It is not an easy jaunt to get up there. It's the top of Lookout Mountain, I guess partially in Tennessee, partially in Georgia.
Is that where you parked your vehicle and then you rode like a donkey or something?
I did not do that, okay. But you could probably find a donkey in that area. But, man, it was great. That's a beautiful campus. I worked with an organization called Generate, a YM360, a national organization that does all kinds of incredible student camps. And so actually Chuck, our worship pastor, and myself led this massive camp, and it was just really, really sweet. And I say massive, not so much in numbers. Certainly we had an auditorium full, but man, the Lord just did this really remarkable thing. As we were saying, you know, some of these deals, as much as you hate to admit it, it feels a tad formulaic, and mm-hmm. and God forbid, I hope that he shuts our churches down. I hope he shuts sure. our events down if we believe that we can just prescribe and decide what God's going to do. It doesn't work that way. But sometimes you kind of get a vibe of this is the way camp's going to roll. And, man, from the moment we started, the Lord just did different stuff. And it was cool. We saw, as I said, I think about 150 folks confessed Christ as Lord and surrendered to him. It was just a really, really sweet week. And so I got to be with all three of my boys. My
That's
wife
awesome.
Was knocking some stuff out here. But all three of my boys came up, and we had a big time and swam around the pool a little bit in our free time, too. So it was a good time. How was the big sale for you guys?
The big sale, yeah. Welcome home. My wife had her first big sale over the weekend, and I think it went well, man. We were really excited to see the amount of people that showed up, and my kids enjoyed it. Gavin, my oldest, just turned into strangely an amazing salesman and was taking people around to different things. And saying,
he wasn't like marking down prices,
no,
was he?
No, okay. He said, "You have to sit in this chair. Sit in this chair." And then he told him how much the chair was. And then he I think he made $3 in tips over the weekend.
Nice.
Which blew him away, which then forced me to give $1 to my two daughters a piece, so that they felt like
I love it.
They got a tip as well.
And now, so, I know we're going to talk about important matters today.
We are.
But let me ask this question before we dig into that. So did you draw like friends and family, or did you draw more like did you draw the garage sale crowd, the yard sale demographic?
What
did you draw?
Say,
because that's a unique demographic.
It is. A demographic that I know well.
That's exactly.
And so,
by well, you mean among them.
Exactly.
That's right.
we did have a couple people walk up and quickly turn around and go, this is not where I want to be. But for the most part, it was folks that either found out about it on social media or found out about it from a friend. Or we also had a friend of ours does Lulu's Tea Room in Powell, and she came out and fed people lunch. It was just a great day, a good family, good for our family to just kind of see and our kids to see. Hey, the effort that mommy and daddy's been putting into this, mainly mommy, has really paid
that
off.
But so, you didn't have to mention that. Yeah, we knew that already.
Yeah, mainly the wife. The weekend was amazing, and we were excited to meet some new people, and we're probably going to do it, you know, four or five times a year.
Cool, so, man. Good for you.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. So now, there's no easy transition to what we're going to talk about today, but. Our goal here with this show, and we're going to say this, you know, every single week, is to talk about cultural issues and do that from a biblical standpoint, from a biblical worldview. And again, you can learn more about what's happening by not just listening to the show live, but listening to the podcast between Sundays. You can find that on, of course, Shoreline's website. You can also find that at Podbeam, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere podcasts are found, you can listen to the podcast. But today what we want to do is talk about immigration. And so unless you've been living under a rock over the past few months and maybe even a year and a half, looking all the way back to the last presidential election, right, immigration was something that was discussed a number of times, with some people saying open the borders completely, with some people saying close the borders completely, with I think some Christian thinkers looking at this from a ethical standpoint, from a moral standpoint. How do we deal with illegal immigration versus legal immigration? And so what we want to do is again, not point you to a political side of this issue, but point you to some truths that hopefully will help in shaping the way you see immigration as a whole in the process. And what does it mean for Christians? What does it mean for the church if the Lord brings the nations to us?
Right.
What is it for us to do? So that's hopefully a good introduction, and then you'll take us where you want us to go, Jesse.
Yeah, so obviously it's a super light, easy listening
simple
today, and there's no complexities here. No, that's what we want to talk about today. We just want to talk about the idea that immigration is more than a political issue. Mm-hmm. Refugee crises and some of the things that create some of the dynamics within immigration and in our immigration discussions, there's so much to the discussion. But what we want to make sure is that our opinions aren't simply informed by our politics or which side of the aisle we sit on or whichever politician we listen to or affirm or support or even voted for, but more that our position is informed by Scripture and ultimately is being shaped by the heart of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so as we move forward and look at that, just anticipating some thoughts maybe even, when people hear Christians or pastors talk about this, everybody, I think, gets on edge. It's the same thing as the abortion issue. It's the same thing as the race issue. Everybody immediately finds themselves, if not running to a certain corner, at least kind of stepping toward their political corner. Well, yeah, I have my Christian beliefs, and yes, this, and yes, that, but I also am a strong fill-in-the-blank, and this is how I vote, and what you're saying is hurting that, hurting who I am as a voter or whatever. And so as we think about immigrants, I think the first thing we do is we look at and say, do we believe that every human we come in contact with bears the image of our God?
Yeah.
And if we believe that to be true, whether we have an opinion on immigration or not, we have to start at that premise as people. Now, we're not at this point, I don't think we're talking about the government. We're talking about it. Christians living life every single day in our communities. How do we need to see people? And the answer is we should see them as image bearers of our God.
That's one of the things I love about what you guys do with Hope Resource Center is that one is that we're just reminded that issues like these aren't just political issues, they're gospel issues. And one of the dynamics that makes it a gospel issue is because we do affirm what you just said. Every person is indeed made in the image of God. And so when we begin to realize that we're not just simply, people from various countries, ultimately countries that we had no responsibility in being birthed in.
Sure.
We begin to think, wait a minute, there's something larger at play here. We are children of God. We're all made in His image. We have value and hold value to Him. And so we need to look at people that are in the midst of this situation, and we have to recognize they hold value. And candidly, even the thing that I'm reminded of is that, we're nationally and spiritually immigrants, all of us, to mm-hmm. some degree. We all came from another place. And then we also recognize that even as we look towards the spiritual realm, we are sojourners in this world. We are simply passing through. And so it begins to put us all on the same plane And it begins to create some sympathy and some empathy that is much needed in this conversation. You know, there's too many times we throw out things like those people. There's too many times that we talk about draining our health care, and too many times we talk about the impact on welfare and all of this stuff, which is an appropriate conversation, but we cannot lose sight of there are people that are on the other side of this conversation.
Well, and if you've heard me talk about at any point, usually I'm talking about the issue of life and abortion. And what we tend to forget with these big time issues, issues that drive people to the voting booth, what we tend to forget about them is that these issues in our mind, a lot of times, just are simple issues. But the reality is there are actual people that are directly impacted by these issues. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about immigration, again, we're not talking about Jason and I aren't talking as legislators or the president or anything like that. We're talking from a Christian standpoint. What does it mean to look at? And I think ultimately everybody would say we're okay with immigration. It's the illegal part of it,
right?
Or certain refugees from certain parts of the country that may create a danger to our country. But as Christians, we have to still step into that and go, okay, they bear the image of our God, and am I prepared to do what Paul said? When Paul said, look, you have a lot of liberties as believers, but there are going to be moments when we put those liberties on the shelf to advance the gospel. And so from this standpoint, are we prepared as Christians to go, well, if the Lord saw fit to bring these people to my community, then really, to fulfill the Great Commission, all I have to do is walk down the street. I don't even have to get a passport because the Lord has brought them to our country. The Lord, and I know some people are going to hear that and go, "Well, they're here legally, or they didn't go through the right channels." And I get that, but as Christians, as the church, are we more bent toward legislation, which we should call for right legislation,
right,
or are we more bent to, hey, if the Lord has brought people to us, we have a mission as the church to engage in that process, as the government also has a mission to do what they have to do as well.
Yeah, I'm always reminded, you know, Jesus could really be defined by some as a so-called illegal immigrant. You know, he was fleeing a country, fleeing a brutal political situation. His parents were sojourned with him in Egypt. He spent his childhood years in a foreign land. He has relatives among him who speak in a different language or strange customs. There's all this other stuff. And so we're reminded that Jesus experienced much of this stuff. And I'm reminded in my own faith, I'm supposed to treat people really how Jesus deserves to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm going to look at Christ with reverence, then I'm going to look to people who are made in his image with a certain degree of reverence, not in a holy, righteous way that we believe they're God, but instead that we say, hey, they value to God and they're going to value to us.
And I think when we come back, we'll continue this conversation and look at, again, the government has its place, the church has its place, and what does that look like as we continue to live out the gospel between Sundays? We'll be back. So today, the big topic is immigration, and it's one that I think is important and one that church should be talking about, Christians should be talking about, and doing so in a honest and transparent way. And we were talking off air, Jason, as we walked through
this. We were talking about really smart.
We were.
I mean, there was
really
good stuff off air.
Unfortunately, you're not going to hear it.
I don't know if it'll make
it
on
the microphone,
but
really,
okay.
Really good stuff. One day we'll do it behind the scenes. Of between Sundays.
I like that.
And we'll say like between that. Wednesdays. That's what we'll call it.
Between Wednesday segments.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
Okay,
and
got
so,
it.
But as we talk about the issue, I think it's important, you know, because as I have these conversations with friends and family and other folks, as we have that conversation, you immediately find, and even I find myself going, well, Washington has a responsibility.
Right.
to keep the country safe.
And we would say yes.
Absolutely. 100% yes. I'm in agreement with that. Washington has those in Washington, elected officials, have a responsibility, first and foremost, to keep this country safe. And frankly, a lot of times their responsibility is to Americans first, mm-hmm. which I know makes some people uncomfortable.
Right.
But that's the way countries work.
Right.
And so when we have this conversation, this isn't a policy. In today's conversation, we're not talking policy. We're talking how do Christians need to go about looking at this issue in our neighborhoods.
Right.
So, again, you can vote for folks that are pushing legislation that you agree with.
And we would encourage that.
Absolutely.
In fact, some of our dearest friends between the two of us are guys that are in the political.
Do it every day.
Yeah, they do it quite honestly more than we even prefer. You know, but they're doing it. We love those guys. We love those ladies. There are wonderful people involved in all kinds of efforts related to policy, all kinds of efforts in regards to government. We're just talking about how do you interact and how do you deal with the issue of immigration when it becomes very personal down the street.
And as we look at that, we say, okay, the government has a responsibility. What's the church's chief mission? Well, it's the Great Commission. It is to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, of all nations.
Right.
And so if we look at that, when we say of all nations, the Lord in his infinite wisdom, in many of these cases, folks are being brought to us. Mm-hmm. And so as you were saying, you don't even have to travel to them.
No.
No passport, no airplane, maybe just your neighbor.
Right.
Maybe just someone down, maybe your coworker. And so as a Christian, what do we do with that? Do we sit down with them and say, oh, you're here illegally, you don't need Jesus? Well, that's not the Christian gospel thing to do.
Yeah, so I know you love politics. So what would you define, Andrew, as the primary role of the government? If you were to summarize the role of the government in, you know, however many
sure,
words.
Sure, I would say the primary role of the government is to get out of my life. No, that's another show. Another show for another day. That'll be between Tuesdays. We'll talk about that. Yeah, I'm going to get emails for
that. I was going to say, congratulations. That is Andrew.
But really, I do believe that safety and security of its people,
right,
of its citizens, is the chief goal of the government. That is really, yes, some people say, well, you know, the post office, and some people may say healthcare, taking care of the elderly, but the chief goal is to keep the country safe from outsiders, from invaders. That is ultimately what's going to push the ball down the court is those in Washington keeping this country safe.
So even if we were to expand that scope a bit, maybe you get into some of the issues you talked about, maybe the general welfare of the people.
Sure.
Maybe it's for what some would describe the American dream. There's any number of these things that the government might be pushing forward. But then we look at the distinction between those things and what the role of the church mm-hmm. is. As you said off air, we as Christ followers have a responsibility to the Great Commission. The American government does not.
Yeah.
Now, as much as we'd like to think that those things are one and the same and synonymous, they are not and were not intended to be.
Yeah.
Again, that's Andrew. But they were not intended to be. And so we then say, okay, we're going to trust, and not just trust, we're going to pray for our government. We're going to pray for wisdom and discernment, and we're going to try to speak as we can and do that correctly with civility. And even if we need to speak in some degree of opposition,
sure,
we can do that civilly. But when it comes to those that are around us and the Lord has entrusted us with the opportunity, we then say, you are image bearers and you deserve to hear the good news of the gospel, not simply just by a church invite or by me saying a few things to you, but by me loving you and caring for you and meeting you in a need that is quite clear. Mm-hmm. Most of our friends who are in this country illegally are in some pretty dire situations, and we've been given an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those scenarios, and I started to understand better when I had children, in thinking about if the Lord saw fit to to have me born somewhere else and not in the greatest country on the planet. And I was raising a family, and I wanted something more for them. Would I maybe not go through the proper channels if the proper channels were going to take me longer?
Right.
And so that's not me saying that it's okay to jump line and do all of those things. That's me saying, trying my best to look at it from a dad's standpoint, yeah. from a husband's standpoint, just from a human standpoint. What does that mean? Again, that's a person looking at it. That's a right. Christian looking at it versus the way a legislator has to look yeah. at it.
Yeah, you hit two things right there. One, when you said America is the greatest country on the planet, he currently has a red, white, and blue checked shirt on. It was as if the colors brightened. It was like something started to sparkle. It was impressive. You know. So besides that, but then secondly, I think your point about as you know, we could field a number of teams among our children here, you know, but yeah, I get it. There was an image that was specifically, man, it became really notable. It was related to all kinds of stuff. You know, the refugee crisis, I think it was an image in Syria. There was a little boy that was in the back of an ambulance. And I just remember that image. And I remember thinking, man, that kid is the same age as one of my boys. And I thought that same thing. Wait, what if that was my child? And what if my country was war torn? What would I do to find freedom and to find
somewhere.
Safety for
yeah.
my child
yeah.
somewhere, whether it's in the United States of America or whether it's in Europe or
sure.
wherever it may be. And it begins to at least soften our hearts to the discussion. And I think it better positions us in how we interact with those that might come upon us.
Yeah, and I think when we find ourselves having those internal discussions, what we're not doing is questioning patriotism. What we're not doing is questioning love of country. It is simply saying, wow, there are people out there hurting. Do I believe they need Jesus or not? And if we're Christians, we should believe that everybody needs Jesus.
Right.
And so if folks are coming into our circles and into our country, then how are we showcasing that to them? Again, that's not up to the government. It's not up to the government to take the gospel to folks on the border. It isn't. And it would be a concern of mine if the government saw fit tomorrow, because then we'd be in a theocracy, and that's
right.
not what we need that for a number of reasons. And so, but as the church, as Christians, what are we, when we see the image bearer, when we read the text and we see how Jesus was treated, when we see how Jesus treated others, I do think it's important for us to not be so calloused toward the others in around us. Because when we're calloused, then we no longer see them through a gospel lens. And so I think we're about to go to break, but when we come back, we'll go deeper into that
yeah.
in how we are to see the image bearer and meet that image bearer in some very dark times. And,
yeah.
and the hope is that other folks would meet us in those times if we found ourselves in situations where we needed that assistance. And we'll talk more when we come back.
Sounds good. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Like a baby from the womb, like he's longing for his mother.
So what we've established so far is that Jason has a calloused heart. And so
also just listened to that. I'm getting no kickback out of this, but that Shoney's commercial all of a sudden made me exceedingly
hungry. Your neighborhood family
right
restaurant.
Now. Something, I don't know. I think so. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Breakfast, I mean, not to go off, because we aren't getting any money
for that.
But the breakfast bar there. It takes me back.
Spectacular.
Spectacular.
New sandwiches.
New sandwiches and breakfast bar probably is what heaven's going to be like. And so as we think about the issue and we think about the – I think if we're honest, and we should be. We're Christians and
yes.
you're a pastor.
Yes.
You should be honest.
Yes.
As we walk through that, I think we would admit there is some callousness on our heart when it comes to – the issue of immigration, and having this conversation is difficult because, at least for me, speaking on from my perspective, for so long from the political side of things, immigration kind of brings something inside of me that goes more policy versus image bearer, and so I start seeing people as just policy decisions and not as people that need Jesus.
Well, we started at the beginning of this discussion talking about the complexities of the issue, and I often say, you know, the issue of immigration is far more complex than we act, but also we're probably far more callous than we'd like to admit. Mm-hmm. And my heart's been that same place. You know, I find myself saying, yeah, this really is an issue of national security, and this really is an issue of our resources going to the right people and things of that sort. And where's my tax money? My tax money doing? And all of that stuff. And again, appropriate discussions. But I think the Lord's more honored if my heart is starting with who are these people and what is the opportunity we have if they are indeed going to be in our community.
Yeah. And as we walk through that, you know, you've said before, and I think it's true. We have a tendency to, because they look different than us, they must be an immigrant or a refugee.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go ahead and establish.
And that is not.
What terrible thinking. But truly, how often we can find ourselves guilty. I mean, what terrible, terrible thinking that immediately we say, if someone doesn't look like me or speak like me, one, we're immediately deeming that they're illegal to some degree. What in the world kind of thinking is that? But that's what the enemy wants to do in us. That's what the enemy wants to do in our hearts, because he ultimately knows that it's that type of misguided thinking that creates division, not simply in the country, but can even create division among the body of Christ. And we want to refute that type of stuff.
And if we look at the dialogue of the day, if you're on social media, if you're on Twitter, especially if you're on Twitter, you would think that at any point in time there's going to be a civil war or the apocalypse, because of the anger and the hatefulness that is found there. But the reality is the vast majority of the populace is just trying to live and go to work and be good neighbors and take care of themselves. You know, I joked earlier about the role of the government is to get out of my life. I think the vast majority of the populace is saying, just let me live. Let me go to work and just be a good employee or an employer and be a good husband or dad or
raise
mom.
My kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as we think about our everyday life, and I know it's difficult for some of us to kind of put the political side on the shelf for a second, but just think as Christians, how are we being intentional in those relationships, wherever they may be? Are we being intentional about kind of widening our circle of friends and bringing some folks in that do look different? And inviting folks over or at the ball field, I think, is a great opportunity. And I know in a few weeks we're going to really tackle, you know, sports and in the Christian
home.
That'll
be a fun discussion.
So as we look at that, how are we being intentional? How can we, from a pastor standpoint, from someone that wants their church to be really engaged in this process, what are some words of advice or encouragement to the Christian that's saying, what do I need to do? How can I be better in getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, but in my neighborhood?
Well, I think first we do what we've said so far, is we establish that this isn't a conservative or a liberal issue. You know, one of the things that's crazy, since when does caring for people who are hurting make me a liberal? Well, I don't understand that. Right. That what kind of misguided thinking is that? And so we start there. Then the second piece is we begin to put ourselves in the shoes of some of these folks, and we're reminded that coming to America is not Disney World. This is a very difficult thing for many people who are coming out of incredibly difficult circumstances and situations. The second piece is we put ourselves in their shoes. And then the third thing is we meet them where they're at. And so we have to begin to open our eyes. We say this over and over and over, and I am not, I'm not the originator of this thought, but you can't minister to people you don't know. You can't evangelize people when the only people you know are church people, or I should better describe as Christ followers. And so this is one of these things. We begin to look around. We begin to work alongside organizations that are in our community. And there are a handful of really, really good ones. You can do a quick Google search and find some fantastic organizations in the East Tennessee area that can work with immigrants and do work with immigrants. There are all kinds of needs, whether it's related to English as a second language, whether it is simply going and helping someone go through the process of dealing with a driver's license or dealing with buying groceries for their family or dealing with getting something fixed or repaired. But these are opportunities that, again, we take for granted. These are things we know. If you are looking for groceries, you know to go to that store. Mm-hmm. If you have a car that is broken down, you know to go to that place. And that is a luxury that we have received that not everyone has. And so we want to make sure we step into some of those circumstances.
Well, and I know we've said that this is a complex issue, but it's not just illegally crossing the border. We also have refugees that are here legally.
Right.
That our country has said,
absolutely,
your country's at war, you can come here. Who, once they get here, they have very little assistance. They don't speak the language. They, again, like you said, you know, trying to walk through, where do I go to the store to get a license to do these different things? And they're also dealing with, they look a little bit different, and people probably are assuming they're here illegally.
It's really interesting you say that, because one of the things that I love that you talk about often related to, pro-life issues is that you and I both say this, is that if we're going to be such bold advocates for saving lives, mm-hmm. For standing against abortion, if we're going to be as bold of advocates for moms to keep their children, then we better be ready to help them. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, if we're telling all these folks, you need to go through the process, well, when they've gone through the process, we better be there, yeah, ready and willing to help them. And this is one of these things, again, we have to say, is our heart really ready to do that? Or are we too, sure, callous to care for anyone besides
and
ourselves?
It's also, with the illegally crossing the border, you have human traffic victims. You have children that are being trafficked. They're not being brought over by their parents.
Right.
And so how are we stepping in to help in those situations? And so, yes, it is. There is not a clear answer. And there, frankly, there is a clear answer from a scripture standpoint, but governmentally, there's not a clear answer, and that's proven because, I don't know, maybe since the day I was born, the conversation has been going on about reforming the immigration process, and it really hasn't been reformed. It hasn't been dealt with the right way, and so what we have to do as the church is go, okay, they're going to do what they have to do in Washington and in our state legislature, but what are we going to do to the immigrant family that moved into our neighborhood, with the immigrant child that's the same age as my child, and they're playing sports together, or they're in gymnastics together, or they're taking art class together, or whatever. How are we stepping in? Do we see them as folks that bear the image of our Creator, or do we see them as a burden because I'm a taxpayer and now I'm having to take care of this family that even if they went through the proper channels as right, refugees, that we're still not okay with that. So what are we doing as Christians to step in and be intentional? And I get it. It's going to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And your spouse may look at you and say, what are you doing? Why, right, are you doing this? Your parents may look at you and say, why, right, are you bringing them in your home?
Right.
But what have we been called to do as Christians?
Yeah, our first responsibility is to the kingdom, not the state.
Sure.
And I think it's important for us to say, we don't have to walk around like with some awkward tension of, like how am I going to subtly do an audit on someone,
right,
to determine, are they an immigrant? Are they legal? Are they legal? No, the point is, do life with people. Mm-hmm. Get in the lives of people that don't always look like you and may not always believe the same things you do and may actually have a different background than you. And then you'll begin to see new circumstances and new situations. And there are absolutely things that are unique and ways that we can care for those that have come in as immigrants and those that have come in as refugees and those that have come in legally or illegally. But the more we get into the lives of people, the more we understand how God loves us and how we can begin to love them.
Because the immigration status doesn't determine whether I believe you need Jesus or not.
Right.
And so as a Christian, all that is to the side. I care about you knowing Jesus and the gospel transforming your life and you going from a dead person to a live person. That's ultimately the goal. We'll be back.
So let us wash away our tears and forget our every fear. And remember how our sin is washed away.
So, Jason, I think it's important that we recognize the bumper music coming in and out of breaks.
That is me singing.
Is you, and I'm on guitar.
Yes.
And we went last year. I don't know if you remember this, but last year me and you went up to the mountains and went to a cabin. And
Dollywood.
We were
actually at Dollywood.
And on the slide winder, wrote
that song.
We wrote that song on the Tin Lizzies, whatever they're called. We wrote.
I believe that maybe our story is losing credibility at this point.
I mean, okay, yeah. Chuck Hooten wrote these songs, and they're amazing. And Chuck's very talented, and a lot more talented in music and guitar playing.
Yeah, man.
It's fun to serve alongside him.
He's the best.
He's
sure.
Good. So that music is amazing. So thank you, Chuck, because I know you're listening somewhere.
I believe he's actually vacationing somewhere up in Boston.
But he will
right
listen.
Now, but I'm sure he's calling in. He's probably trying to call in
probably
right
is.
Now.
The lines are all busy. all lines are booked right now. So as we finish up the conversation on immigration, I do think it's important to simply say we have a mission as Christians that is outside of the political world, that is that at times is going to make us uncomfortable, that at times is going to make some of our political friends, some of our good friends look at us a little weird because we see things through a biblical view versus a worldly view. And we have responsibilities as Christians to take the gospel to people, to love on people. And as we're talking about loving well, I mean, we're right in the middle of a political cycle right now.
Yeah.
And we're, depending on which side of the aisle you are, you've been getting a lot of mailers. I know Jason and I have been getting similar mailers. one thing that we have to look at is civility's always been talked about, and some people would say we're at the worst part this country's ever seen. But I would remind you that Alexander Hamilton was shot by Aaron Burr. So like civility's always been an issue for us in the political world because it at times will bring out the worst in us. So from a pastor standpoint, to not get into the political side of things, but what would be some words of encouragement as we're all looking to the next election, whether it be for governor or congressman, what's some encouragement you would give to the listeners?
Yeah, I think the transition is pretty natural here because obviously in the midst of this political cycle, an issue like immigration is one that's spoken about a lot.
Every day.
And so I would just continue to challenge people that we would seek Christ for our example. We would see that the reason that civility is so foreign in our culture is because it is completely counter to the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of being unifiers, the idea of even being able to share and to stand in opposition respectfully mm-hmm. to other people, these are things that come with the Spirit of God in us. But in our flesh, we become really territorial. We become really argumentative. We become really overtly opinionated without a lot of basis. And so my challenge would be is you look to Christ as your example in these things. You look through all of these issues through a biblical lens. And maybe just maybe also you wouldn't focus so much on who's going to be in what spot, but you'd begin to focus on we need to pray for our leadership as a whole, and we're also going to be reminded that God's in control of it all, and I'm not going to lose too much sleep over it one way or the other.
What we need to do is dads is I want my kids to be able to one day say, my dad wasn't a disagreeable person. He might have disagreed with somebody, but he did so respectfully.
Sure.
And because if we see every individual as someone that bears the image of our God, then when we disagree with them, we'll do that in the proper context of knowing that they bear the image of our Creator, not seeing them as the other side or the enemy.
They're not a Democrat. They're not a Republican. They're not a homosexual. They're not a bisexual. They're not what none of these issues. They're not an immigrant. They're not an illegal immigrant. They're not any of these things. These are children of God who deserve and demand respect. Not necessarily from their own mouths, but from the mouth of the Father. And we're going to give that respect. We're going to love them well. And if we say, hey, I don't know who's who, then we're going to share Jesus with everyone.
Yeah, and that's where the fact that the Lord even knows who we are tells me everything I need to know. I don't deserve that love.
Right.
I don't deserve the God of the universe to know the hairs on my head and know what's going on in my life and to be able to talk with him. I don't deserve any of that. And so if our God saw fit to pave the way, if Jesus saw fit to go to the cross, knowing all of the bad things about me and all my failures and the failures of mankind, but he still went to the cross, then I think the least we could do is love our neighbor. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you're a pastor. I think it says that in the Bible.
Vaguely familiar to me.
I think it does. So your actual neighbor, like the person that lives next to you, but also those that you come in contact with. So coming up, what's the next series? What's going on at you've been in Luke now for 10 years at Shoreline. And so what's next?
If you were to miss somewhere Shoreline between a week to 14 weeks, we're still going to be in the book of Luke. No, the Lord's doing awesome stuff. And so we will continue on through the book of Luke. We're going to take a quick little 4-week hiatus, and we're going to talk about actually civility, and we're going to talk about togetherness, not only as a nation, but also as a community and ultimately as a church. And so we're going to talk about what seems like a foreign concept for many and why we see it so valuable in the eyes of God. Then we'll jump back into Luke, and eventually we'll jump into Christmas series. And I guess 2019
Christmas 5 months away.
Yeah.
5 months away.
Have you bought my gift already?
No.
No.
Santa is going to do that. And I'm with the beard, I'm getting closer and closer to Santa every day. Every day.
Yes. If we took the blue out of your shirt and then added the beard, and then we'd have to bleach it a little bit because it's pretty fiery red. It is right now.
It is. It's impressive, and it's I'm dealing with idolatry, if I'm honest, of my own
of
beard.
Your own beard.
Of my own beard.
That seemed nearly impossible, but you could pull it off.
I could. Yeah. And so as we wrap up, I do think it's important that you can learn more about Shoreline at Shoreline Knox. ShorelineKnox.com. And you can learn more about Hope Resource Center and InvestingHope.com.
Yeah, we're on all the social media channels.
All of those places.
Everything you need to find, you can find us.
Thanks for listening. Of course, you can listen to this show, find the podcast on the website, ShorelineKnox.com, also wherever podcasts are found. We'll talk to you next week. Soul, you can